It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along with Daniel Pryor once again today. Daniel, life coach and counselor. This first couple of weeks of the new year, a lot of people may be looking how to change from the past, how to get free from the past, and just how to get free from, you were saying last week, get free from Christmas.
Yeah.
As we move into the new year. So we're welcome, Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Good to be here, and welcome to you.
Talking about that this week, how to get free from your past, and maybe not as easy as we think sometimes.
And a lot of times when I say, when we differentiate between living in the past, living in the future, and that can be a little bit confusing for people, because living in the past doesn't always mean that I'm surrounding myself in thoughts of the past. So in the show today, I want to help people to understand what I mean when we're talking about living in the past, because think of the past not as just past memories, but things that anything that's the opposite of living in the future.
Mm.
And so,
or living for the now. For
living
today.
For the now. Yeah, and so the way I talk about that is that we live in a present moment, but we have a mentality of either future or past.
Okay.
So I'm living in the present moment, and that's where people are going to look at you, and just by your demeanor and your behavior and your outlook on life, they'll be able, you know, I can tell if you're living toward the future, if your life is about future, if your life is about past.
Tell us how and why the past holds us.
Well, the past holds us because of, part of it's in the mind, part of it's in the brain, part of it's narrative, and part of it's neurological. As we've talked before, our fundamental objective here in life is surviving, and so a lot of our behaviors are defense mechanisms. We've even talked about personalities being defense mechanisms. And so in a lot of situations, people feel more secure not pursuing the future. So I was going to say they feel more secure in the past. What do I mean by the past? Simply not whatever's not the future. So neurologically, the idea of being adventurous, going out exploring, kids coming through high school, and they're on the threshold of going into college, and then a lot of kids freeze up because they sort of like, well, maybe I can go to high school another year,
right?
Or coming out of college and the job market out there, and so maybe I'll go back and take some more college because there's something neurologically that's more comfortable about some place that I've been than some place that I haven't been.
Right.
So neurologically, that and then the narrative also kind of holds hands with the neurology, the story that tells me that the future is unpredictable and therefore I'm better off not exploring out there. And so if you're not exploring in the future, if you're not moving forward in your thoughts and in your behaviors, then you're in the past, because those are the only two places that you can be. And so that's how and why we get caught in there, because it feels more secure, it feels more comfortable, and we repeat the narrative that says, the past may not have been comfortable, but at least it's familiar, whereas the future is not familiar. So I meet a lot of people. As a matter of fact, you could probably boil, depending upon your perspective, you could probably from, one moment boil mental health down to, just one or two simple principles, and then you could go around the other side of the table and look at it from another perspective and boil it down to two other things. So we've talked about, mental health being, your world's either getting larger or smaller. We've talked about mental health in terms of, now living in the past or living in the future. Existentialists would say mental health has to do with, choices, lack of choices, and freedom or lack of freedom. So they boil it down to some things, which You can use different terms, and when you get right down to it, these terms are synonymous, and mental health becomes very... Mental health has to do with your sense of security and your sense of personal relevance. So if you feel challenged in the future about security and a sense of relevance, the only place for, and you don't have the courage to move forward and pursue things, then the only place that you can be is in the past. Now, what does that look like? Because people listening are thinking, well, am I in the past or the future? Well, living in the past looks like retreat. And there are a number of ways to say this, and we can explain it. You know, when we're living in the past, our world is getting smaller. That is, we're retreating. We're withdrawing. We're withdrawing in two basic areas. We're withdrawing in our relationships, and we're withdrawing in responsibilities. Mm. And this can be a very gradual thing. And so you can look around, and in your own life, you can see how that you're less active in relationships now, or you're less likely to set goals, or even now it's maybe to the point where in you're retreating, you might even be looking around your house and say, not only am I not setting goals, I'm letting some things go. I see some projects that I should have gotten ready. Could be anything from, you know, we have these older Anderson windows on our house, so they have their wood. And so we're looking out, wintertime, and you get some rain, and I'm looking out, and I'm seeing the cracks in the paint on this wood, and I'm thinking, you know, those should have been sanded down and repainted this past. So you can look around you, and you can see little projects that you're sort of letting go, and they're beginning to accumulate. Mm. And that's a sign that I'm retreating. And that is synonymous with living in the past, because living in the future would be to set a goal. But, you know, you can get to the place where the narrative says something like, well, what's the use?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of giving up on life, living in the past, is that just part of aging, though?
It becomes more difficult when you're aged. So I'm 66, and I have clients that are my age and older, and relatives that are my age and older. And friends that are my age and older, and yeah, anybody that's getting older knows that, you know, that you don't have the physical strength. Sometimes you don't have the mental flexibility.
Well, that's what I think, because you're mentioning all these projects. I'm thinking I'm starting to get to where I kind of let the yard go more than I used to, and it's like I just don't have the energy. I got to hire someone to do it now. Yeah. So that doesn't mean that I'm necessarily having mental health problems.
No, but it is important. I find it's important that. And I've always been a do-it-yourselfer, but now I'm getting for example, this before I came this morning, a new dishwasher arrived for my wife. Now I wanted to install it, okay, but the deal from the store was, well, we'll install it and we'll take your old dishwasher away. Sure. So you know, kind of my wife, we've lived together for. She's saying we're taking the deal at the store because I don't want to have the dishwasher in the garage for 6 months while you would disassemble it and put it in the garbage one piece at a time.
Right.
And so they'll take it away. That wasn't going to be a big charge. So this morning I was watching this young man put it in, and I was thinking, I don't think I could have done that. You know, I mean, he got bad shoulders and reaching back under there, and and you know, he had to go in several times, and I just thought. But it's hard to let that go. But then my thinking is, well, you can only let so many things go like that. You've got to find some way in your life to keep moving forward. So there are other things. Maybe I can't do the dishwasher, but I got to keep my hand on some responsibilities. Yeah, as you get older, there will be even fewer of them. But you have to be involved some way, whether it's in relationships or some kind of a project. I may not be able to do the dishwasher, but I could probably show up at the church and help around the grounds on the church. I could work in my own yard. I could do some things there. So you have to be looking for the things that you can do and begin to recognize those as not just busy work, but mental health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this whole idea of the smaller world or the enlarging world has to do with those things. Maybe it doesn't have to do with as many tasks as you used to do, real task-oriented. But relationships and growing in relationships, getting more involved with the church community. You always think of the person who becomes more and more reclusive. Mm-hmm. Is that the person who's struggling with some mental health issues?
Yes, because that's what happens when your world begins to get smaller. Mm-hmm. living in the past can feel like relative security. Again, neurologically and narratively, that's why we go back to that, because it can feel relatively more secure than the future. However, the problem is that you'll keep retreating. You don't plateau off. Your world is either getting larger or smaller all the time. And this is, it takes some courage to keep enlarging your world. And as we get older, you know, we begin to run out of steam. And so we need young people around us. Mm-hmm. And we need some, I'm thanking God for the pastor in the church I attend. He's about 10 years older than I am. But he is so buff. He looks better than most jocks at 30.
Really?
I mean, he looks like Jack LaLanne at 40.
Wow.
And he's got so much vip and vim. And he's, and I thought, man, I want to hang around with him, because I feel myself getting tired. And I see him just, you know, he's still fishing. He's still exercising. So we need to be surrounded with people with some energy, and don't wait for them to come to you. Go seek them out and go.
Well, so much mental health, and there's been these connections, is connected to overall physical health, too. If you don't stay mentally healthy, you start to have a lot of physical problems, too.
Yeah, and recognizing if you're in that situation, if you've got physical disabilities, it makes it even harder for you to be optimistic and to go out. But I just say to myself, you can't do everything, but you must do something.
And that's not to say that people who have physical problems are having, it's because of some kind of mental health issue. I mean, obviously
it could be the other way around. The discouragement and all that could be because of just feeling like I'm losing the physical battle. I saw a clip on the computer the other day of a man in a rest home who was bedridden, but he was knitting or crocheting hats, and a big smile on his face. And you know, just we have to keep finding something to do. You know, we have to do what the Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do with, you know, do it with all your might. Do it as unto the Lord. We have to keep finding things to do. That's what gives us our life meaningful. And again, as I was saying, you know, the past can feel relatively secure. We might tend to go back there. And again, not past memories, although that can be part of it, but just the past is anything that's not the future. And so that man could, instead of knitting hats, he could be laying in bed thinking about, you know, what's going to happen to me in the future. I don't have long to live, and worrying like that instead of, that would be living in the past, although he's thinking about
his mortality.
He's thinking about his mortality. You start this retreat, you keep retreating, because the more time you spend in the past or commiserating or being miserable, the more threatening the future seems. You know, you get immobile and it's hard to get going. If you're familiar with the term foxhole fever, military term, where they're down, hunkered down in the foxhole, the bullets are flying around, and then even when the bullets stop, there's a sense of immobility that can come over some men, and they're frozen, they can't move. And they have to be dragged out of the foxhole.
So that can happen to us mentally.
It can happen to us mentally. We start retreating. And, so you need to get around some young person or some older person. I've got a couple of mentors in my life that are, about 10 years further down, 15 years further down the road. And some of these guys have some joy and vim and vigor. And so I try to use that too.
Well, getting free from the past, as we come back from the break, we'll be talking about getting back to the future in not just the movie, but more ways of living in the future, living with hope and belief in God's plan for your life. If people are struggling with some of this and they need some help, Daniel, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can call me at 425-778-6169. And also, people email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you'll find podcasts of these shows as well.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with a word regarding the many faces of anger. The key to managing anger is to recognize it when it doesn't look like anger. Otherwise, we find ourselves resisting anger when it wears one face, but then embracing it when it wears another. From personal experience and professional training, I understand this. I can help you recognize the faces of anger and teach you tools of effective management. Contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, or call 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland, looking at the subject this week on the Sound Mind broadcast of getting free from your past, an appropriate one as we're starting the first couple of weeks here of the new year. Daniel, this is I would think this is kind of a basic thing that everybody needs help with and needs coaching on. And you want people to think about living in the future as opposed to the past. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, you know, just taking up from that on that comment that you just made, Mark, that, yeah, when people come, anxiety, depression, anger, I want to say that again, anger, all those things are responses to fear. And when we're responding to fear, we're living in the past. How are we living in the past? Because responding to fear, we are probably not feeling courageous. We're probably not feeling hopeful. We're not feeling optimistic. We're not feeling resolve. We're not feeling joy. All the things that epitomize and describe a mentality that is moving into the future. So if I'm recoiling, and I would call it, so anger is a form of recoiling. That's a response to fear, depression, anxiety, all those things.
How about feeling sorry for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of regret.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can see that you can, a person who is angry and becoming more and more angry. And I've had people come in, I've done a lot of anger management and anger resolution counseling. And as a matter of fact, you know, we're kicking these terms around, depression, anxiety, anger. Basically, that's why people come for counseling. They don't come. I mean, there are the reporting problem is what we call it. The reported problem when people come, it's almost always has to do with anxiety, depression, anger. It's almost always related to those. And so you're exactly right, Mark, that fundamentally in counseling that we are trying to get people to move into the future, get dislodged from the past, get mobilized and start moving.
But don't you sometimes, I mean, this is again the cliche that counselors are always trying to drudge up the past. Mm-hmm. Let's find out why you have, you know, the family of origin issues and all. How does that that part of the equation of getting healthy fit into it?
Well, for me, it is what I tell people is I'm helping to create a lens for you through which you can look at your life and manage your life and just understand life. Part of that has to do with how things, understanding what happened to me.
People have never done that. What keeps biting me?
Yeah.
They don't ever look back. Yeah. And so there is a place for it.
There is. I think self-analysis is absolutely an essential tool for people to understand and become kind of their own counselors and go through life healthy. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Well, how do you guard your heart with all diligence if you don't analyze it? And Haggai is saying, you know, consider your ways and then consider God. You know, how do we consider our ways? How do we guard our hearts if we don't self-analyze, if we don't look at what am I doing? Why am I doing that? Where did that begin? How did I start? So sure. I have things that I say to myself through the day. Whenever I start to get tense or upset or irritable, anything like that, I will say things to myself like, your world is getting smaller, or what are you afraid of? What are you ashamed of? Or there was another one that I was thinking of this morning. It's kind of slipped my mind right now. I won't try to. But these are ways of framing, you know, some sort of a self-analysis to just kind of stop the behavior and stop the thinking and become my own analyst and say, then I'm in control of it. So that's one of the things that I try to teach people: self-analysis.
Recognize your bents, your old way of thinking, and use the tools to look forward.
So some of looking in the past is just giving people information. Now, I do genograms, and I have people look into generations back, and a lot of times people, the more we understand about the problem, the better we are equipped to solve the problem. So a lot of times people have an image of their problem as kind of a freeze frame. This is my life, and they haven't looked back to see, well, how did this happen? Am I still repeating some of those things? And so that's just kind of adding that information. But I don't expect for people to look at a genogram and go back a couple of generations and go, oh, that's why I do it, because we still make our own choices.
Sure.
But you can look back and you can see, oh, these are the values that we're passing. So, and a lot of times this frees people from the past, because maybe in their present life, they feel that there's blame for attached to a parent. Back then, my father abused me, my mother abused me. And so sometimes we look back in the genogram and we find that, well, why did they do that? And we look at, well, they grew up in abusive homes. And so for a lot of people, that information helps to get them kind of free from the past, mm-hmm. because they understand more about their current situation and mm-hmm. how it. But I don't look at the past as a key for making my present life easier. It's a way mm-hmm. of, it changes the lens that they look through.
But so many people wouldn't even consider that, looking at the past. They go, oh, I just want to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, so younger, older generations kind of seem like they dealt with a lot mm-hmm. of their current mental health crisis mm-hmm. like that. Well, just got to move forward. Just mm-hmm. get over it and move on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was even kind of the naive way, yeah. I think, a lot of, yeah. like you were responding mm-hmm. in a previous show, early days of Christian counseling and church counseling, mm-hmm. just repent, move on, God, you're a new creature now in mm-hmm. Christ, and just move forward. But if you don't understand why you have certain proclivities
right.
and different things, you're, yeah. you're going to keep making the same mistakes.
Yeah. Just the words you used, get over it. But
yeah.
if we don't understand what it really is,
yeah, right.
we can't get over it. So
right.
a lot of times I do some work in the past. You know, it's not one size fits all. I don't insist on doing the genogram, but what I look for is what the person's giving me in the counseling session. We're talking along, and I'm looking at how they're stuck. And if I think that some information about their past is going to help to free them, Then I will start asking some questions about that, and I might actually do a genogram. When I'm doing that, people say, "Oh, I never thought of that before." Well, so that's important, because that's new information. So that mm-hmm. that develops the lens through which they see their behavior. And when we start understanding the problem more clearly, we're much better equipped to solve it.
Of course, moving forward into the future, a lot of that, in fact, the bedrock of all of it, you remind us, is your relationship with the Lord
mm-hmm.
must be alive.
Yeah, because, we can talk about ways that we move into the future. We can talk about setting goals and pursuing goals. Reaching out to other people, keeping up on their tasks, you know, stretching your comfort zone and enlarging your worlds. But, of course, these just become like exercises, ends in themselves. And ultimately, there's got to be a purpose. We talked at an earlier show about setting a goal out there, a superficial goal for people who don't have faith. Well, you reach that superficial goal. Now you've got to set another superficial goal. And what's missing is the meaning of your life.
Mm.
And even if you set up a meaning of your life, unless it's attached to some ultimate, giver of meaning,
mm-hmm.
You recognize it as something you've set up yourself, and it's questionable.
Well, and this is also acknowledging some people go through what's called like a dark night of the soul, mm-hmm. or maybe going through a wilderness experience. Mm-hmm. But I don't think God ever leaves you there. If you're still there, then maybe you didn't follow the, need to get back on track with the Lord.
You should, if you're there, you should start to ask yourself, am I disengaging from relationships, from Christian relationships? Mm. Am I disengaging?
Because that's a real key part of it. That's
yeah,
a real key part.
Yeah.
People think just me and the Lord, but there's that aspect where you need to be relating with
yeah.
the church.
And I know people, intercessors, that go through dark times, but the thing that strikes me about them, if they're healthy, is they're not withdrawing from people. They're still staying engaged. I mean, their dark time is something they're taking care of in their heart between them and God. But they're taking care of the other things. They're staying up with relationships and staying up with things. And then you'll come through that. You know, God will send someone into mm-hmm. your life. There'll be some. You'll find some encouragement.
Yeah. Stay connected.
So these are the things, that personal prayer and study. And that doesn't just mean, reading through the Word and reading through the Word. There are lots of books and devotionals that you can read, things that inspire you. You have to have some church involvement, regardless of your age. And I know that older people find it more difficult. And I'd encourage, too, if there are people out there listening, and you can kind of tell this to your pastor, the rest home ministry is so critical.
Mm.
These people can't leave the rest home and come and reach out, so that they can reach out when you're there. Think about that. It's been on my heart
mm-hmm,
recently.
Mm-hmm.
And regular Christian fellowship. Those things are fundamental to all of this talk of mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Got to be in a relationship with others. It's not just me and God.
Mm-hmm.
It's God and others
body.
In the body of
the
Christ.
Body.
And that's the way God, otherwise God would just take us all to heaven right now.
Yeah.
He left us around to help each other heal and help this world. So some great stuff this week, getting free from your past, moving into the future, moving into this new year. People, though, maybe are stuck. Maybe they've got a family member, maybe a wife listening today, or she just can tell her husband is stuck and he needs some help. You deal with marital issues, counseling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People got problems with their kids. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Right. You can call me, 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People email me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com. These shows are podcasted at the website. Again, long distance, a lot of times people will meet with me in Skype.
Through
and they
Skype,
don't have to travel up across the Hood Canal or whatever. You know,
great.
So.
And your offices, though, are located?
Kirkland and Edmonds, yeah.
Kirkland and Edmonds. Yeah, okay, good. Always great information. Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.